Wallace Seaman's young adult debut, Somebody Up There Hates You, introduces readers to a smart mouth but deeply endearing hero, 17-year-old Richard Casey. In many ways, Richie is a typical teenage boy. He hates rules, he likes having fun, and he has a crush on a cute girl. But Richie also has terminal cancer, and his crush, Sylvie, lives across the hall in their hospice unit. As Richie says, chemo, radiation, a zillion surgeries, watching your mom age 20 years and 20 months, if that's part of the big dude's plan, well, then it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Somebody up there hates you. Hollis Seaman is a professor of English at the College of St. Rose in Albany, New York. She also teaches in the MFA Creative Writing Program at Fairfield University in Fairfield, Connecticut. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Hollis Seaman to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. It's great to be here again.
It is your young adult debut. We talked about this a little bit the last time you were here. You were here with your son, in fact. But this is very exciting.
Yeah, it is. And I really didn't know whether it was going to be a young adult novel or an adult novel when I was writing it. But I've been so pleased to be part of the inaugural group of young adult novels by Algonquin.
It is. It's a great publishing house. They do a lot of wonderful work, certainly for adult literary authors. At what point does that arrive in your mind that, okay, this could go for that audience?
Actually, it never arrived in my mind until my agent said it. I sent it to my agent, and she said, I think, you know, this could be a young adult novel, and there's a great new opportunity going on because Algonquin is beginning their young adult imprint. So it was just one of those things that worked out. First time in my life I've ever been in the right place at the right time, you know?
So, as far as the content, was there anything that had to be altered? Is there anything that had to be changed?
No, very, very little. This book was always narrated by a 17-year-old boy, Richard Casey, who's in a hospice unit. I had originally written a short story called Soothie Syndrome, which is the acronym for what Richie calls what's wrong with him, because he's sick of people asking him what's wrong with him, and so he has made up this Somebody Up There Hates You syndrome. So the original short story was published in Bellevue Literary Review, which is a great literary journal published by NYU Medical School, and I love it that the medical school publishes a literary journal. But the novel was always essentially the same. I just really expanded on that short story to make it a full-length novel.
And I love the character because here's a kid who basically finds this whole process pretty boring.
Yeah, and it seems to me that that's kind of something he says, and I don't know exactly if he's covering up real fears, which do come out during the novel, but it's kind of his way of dealing with things, is to say, as I think many adolescents do, oh, that's just boring. I'm going to talk about something a lot more interesting, and
right.
What's interesting are the things that are beginning to happen. He falls in love. He has all kinds of new experiences. So he wants to talk about life, really.
And there is, to defend him a bit, there is a day-to-day monotony in the hospice, being that patient in the bed and kind of waiting for what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and Richie's been sick a long time, and he's tired of the whole hospital thing and all that. He does make a point to say that hospice is different. They're not bothering him anymore. This is comfort care, and so it's very quiet, and hospice is not usual to have young people in it. And I think that's one of the things that Richie brings to this whole place is youth and some energy, even though he's very, very ill.
That term comfort care, which is really something that we looked upon those who are at the last stages, and it is a way of saying, in a manner of speaking, that we've given up.
Yes. And in some ways, I think to Richie, that's of course terrifying and a bit of a relief. As he says, you know, he keeps saying no intervention, you know, no needles, nothing else. And he really holds that line himself. And again, you see that at this point, I think Richie has certainly accepted his diagnosis. He's not happy about it. He's angry. He's basically got a bit of an attitude, but he believes in the truth of that diagnosis, even though he tries to convince others that there's still hope. He tries to convince his mother and some other people.
He makes the connection that his mother is going through hell, that he's watching his mother age. He makes that connection. And obviously there is that feeling of, well, there's nothing I can do about this, but I wish I wasn't the one causing that pain.
Yeah, and I think that's where Richie actually for once or a couple of times in the book, he has no words for that. That's such a deep grief of his own that he doesn't talk about it easily, as he does talk easily about a whole lot of other things. But it is the sense that he is inflicting this sorrow upon his mother that hurts him the most, I think.
It seems as though, and just the title alone, somebody up there hates you. There is this big guy, this God quality of, okay, you know, what have they got in store for me? And I must have done something or I wouldn't be in this position that I'm in.
Yeah, I think Richie, at least again, and his attitude might be partly ironic, but he's come up with this name and he does feel that way. Certainly at the beginning of the book, he feels like I'm being punished. I'm suffering. This has been inflicted upon me. Maybe I did something wrong. I think a big part of the trajectory of the book is his beginning to grow up. It really is a coming-of-age novel. He's growing up under these extreme circumstances and a beginning to understand that he is not the only human being on earth and he's not the only human being suffering. He begins to take into account the other patients in hospice. He sees them as human beings. He sees the nurses as human beings. He understands that everyone has tragedies of their own. So I think that's a huge part of his learning process.
Which brings me to the question that I've asked this of many authors, and I just find it fascinating. And that is, given that your canvas is clear and you can start with anything, what would bring you to a hospice and the end of a young person's life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure we always know what brings things to us, but I remember, and this was way back because I was starting to think about the short story, which was published in 2009. So we're back in like 2008. I remember almost hearing Richie's voice and sitting on my couch in my living room and hearing the acronym, Somebody Up There Hates You. And I thought, oh, it makes a word. It's Suthi. You know, it's a word. We can say it. And so he seems to have come to me in some ways. I know that sounds awfully artsy, but it seems to me that in this case, that was what happened.
And that hate could have been anything, though. And in this case, it's the ultimate. It's death.
Yes. I think it's a powerful word. It's meant to be powerful. It disturbs people. I think it also might, I hope, make people pick up the book and try to see why there is that extreme kind of emotion kind of broadcast right here in the title.
I find it fascinating, and you mentioned this early on that you're at the right place at the right time. Young adult books are very big. This is a genre that is growing by leaps and bounds. And what we have found through this, besides that there are great writers like yourself who are offering wonderful literature to kids and teens, is that they are interested in reading about a teen who is facing such a horrible thing.
I think it's just been amazing because until I started really, you know, getting some attention for this book, I had not noticed that there are hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands, of young people blogging about books and a whole huge YA community of readers. And they're serious readers and they are interested in books and they're interested in talking about books. It's encouraging. It makes me feel like, okay, there really are an awful lot of young people, and they are willing to tackle books that are challenging in some ways, that are literary, not just sort of, you know, popular books. And it's been amazing for me to really discover this whole community of people out there.
And you are also, of course, a professor at the College of St. Rose. Does that give you hope for them of their writing, of their opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also being a professor and teaching freshman classes for many, many years. I actually love to teach the intro level classes. It's kept me in touch with people this age, I think, to some extent. But I'm teaching right now an intro to creative writing class, 15 of the brightest, most energetic students who are so willing to try anything. They're doing poetry, they're doing drama, they're doing fiction. And it does give me hope because they think of themselves as literary people and they are writing and they are reading. And it's been a great experience.
Do you see yourself staying with this genre of doing more in young adult?
Yeah, I would love to. As you said, it's a growing genre. It's very, very It's not only just popular, but I think it's also an important genre. I think when we look back, some of the books that had the biggest influence on any of our lives are books we read when we were young people. And just to think that you could be a part of that is really wonderful. And I also realized, a little late probably in life, that many, many of my stories and my adult work have adolescent characters as hugely important parts of the books. And so I thought, oh, maybe I've always had an affinity for writing about people this age and didn't really think of moving them to center stage until this book. And now I would like to. I would like to keep them there for a while in the middle of the whole action.
I found it fascinating in your description early on in our conversation about how you just wrote this book and with no thought of you know, young adult. And that's become a label. And it's really, this book cover is much different than it would have been had the book gone to an adult audience.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think the cover, I love the cover design,
it's a
by
great,
the way.
It's
and it
great
wasn't
cover.
Exact, it was not at all what I would have envisioned, but that's why I work with words and not with images. But I think you're right. I think it's a marketing label to some extent. I hope that adults can read this book and get a whole lot out of it. Most of the adults that have read it are very appreciative of it. So I think that maybe I would like it to be one of those crossover novels that both adults and teenagers read, and I think that's also a possibility in this world. And I'm just very interested in the genre right now. I'm also going to be teaching a MFA graduate level course at St. Rose in YA writing this coming spring, so it's kind of become a whole new area of study for me as well.
That's great. You're going to be taking part in the Troy Author Day 2013, which takes place tomorrow, Saturday, at the Troy Public Library on 2nd Street in Troy. And this is 20 of the Capital District's most popular authors getting together. And these are, I assume, fun events.
It sounds like a great time. A lot of people that I know are going to be there. It's been organized by Dennis Mahoney, who I know you've talked to, author of a great novel, Fellow Mortals, also a former St. Rose student. So a lot of wonderful writers are going to be there. Lydia Davis, Barbara Unger, who's a poet, also teaches at St. Rose. I think it's a great time. First of all, for the writers, it's fun that we're all in the same place at the same time. And then I hope people show up and would like to hear about writing and books. We're going to do panel discussions. And then, of course, we'll be selling and signing books.
All good stuff. It's Troy Author Day. It's tomorrow, Saturday, October 19th, 12 to 3 at the Troy Public Library. And if you want to find out more, you can go to Troy Author Day, all one word, troyauthorday.wordpress.com, troyauthorday.wordpress.com, and see all the authors that will be participating in Troy Author Day tomorrow from 12 to 3 at the Troy Public Library. In the meantime, Hollis Seaman's new novel is Somebody Up There Hates You. It is published by Algonquin. Hollis, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us, and have a wonderful time tomorrow.
Thanks so much, Joe. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Somebody Up There Hates You, a novel by Hollis Seaman. It's published by Algonquin. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.